The mention of entertainment in Vietnam brings to mind the names of headliners and top-billed performers. But scattered across the country are small groups of professionals who provide the fighting men with a short and very welcome diversion from the war. Luciano Benevene is one of these performers. His troupe was one of the first to come to Vietnam and has become one of the most popular. We talked to Mr. Luciano after his show entertained patients at a Da Nang hospital.
How many years have you had in this entertainment field?
Oh, no, is it 26 years in show business. I started 14 years old. I was in Italy, in the radio and television. I have about 437 records. I like to see the world, you know, I like to see people, meet people and see new places. First, I come here in Vietnam in 65. We was about the first entertainer here in Vietnam, and sure, the first entertainer in Da Nang.
Is there anything in particular that you find really rewarding about the things you run into and the problems entertaining our troops overseas?
You know, it's a very different kind of work. This is what we do here in any other place. This is not. It's not only in entertain people, you know, that we use to do in Japan or in Hong Kong, in any place. Our work, it becomes something, I don't want to say a big word, but something like a mission, you know. Sometimes you go in some place, you feel it. People, for the first time in 4 or 5 months, first time they see a show. Of course, they make us feel very, 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 very good. So we start to feel with these people, you know, and to enjoy the work what we do.
The spirit of the performers is perhaps best put in words by Miss Diana Gregory, a singer-dancer with Mr. Luciano's show.
What does it mean to you as an entertainer to be able to perform for the people that are making up your audience these days?
I think they're the best audiences in the world, and it's the most satisfying thing for me to give a show, for us to give a show, and to make people happy. This is the most satisfying time of my whole life, really.
The audiences are sometimes small. The stage can be the top of a sandbag bunker. But the enthusiasm of the men they play for makes a hard day's work well worth the effort. This is Marine Combat Correspondent Corporal Jim Groom at the Combat Information Bureau in Da Nang, Vietnam. Major William E. Loftus, a Marine fighter pilot, was shot down over Hill 881 when he was flying close air support for the Marines who were under attack by a large North Vietnamese Army force near Khe Sanh. An Air Force correspondent working with the Marines at Khe Sanh talked to Major Loftus moments after he was rescued by Leatherneck helicopters.
This is Air Force Airman Mike Shepard at Khe Sanh. I've finally gotten a hold of the pilot. Sir, is this the first time that you've been shot down?
Yes, this is the first time I've been shot down.
What was your first reaction when you realized you had to eject?
Finally, it's me. I've seen other guys eject and flown with them, flown cover on them. I've been a search and rescue pilot, and it always happened to the other guy. It never happened to me.
I noticed that when you ejected, Marine helicopters were hovering in the area immediately. How long were you on the ground?
Before they got to me? About 15 seconds. I was on the ground a total of maybe a minute, minute and a half.
What do you think about that quick reaction by the Marine choppers hovering in your area?
That's outstanding. That's the best thing I've seen all day.
Major Loftus was reported in good condition after his ordeal near Khe Sanh. That was Air Force correspondent Airman Mike Shepard. I'm Marine Corporal Jim Groom reporting from the Combat Information Bureau at Da Nang, Vietnam.
A rough rider is a military term used to describe a convoy of military vehicles. In Vietnam, rough riders are a common and necessary part of the supply system. Recently, one of the largest rough riders to ever travel the treacherous Highway 1 set out on the 70-mile journey from Da Nang to Phu Bai. Combat correspondent Gunnery Sergeant Bob Calkins was with the convoy, and prior to the start, he talked with Major C.H. Bauer concerning the convoy and what it could expect.
This is the first one that's gone north in a little bit of time, a little bit of period of time. I wonder if he'd explain why none have gone up?
Well, we've run into quite a bit of difficulty with the road. The VC have been mining and upsetting the bridges as far as blowing bridges, and it's taken the engineers and our vehicles supporting the engineers roughly 4 days to repair the road.
I notice rather some somber looks, as if they expect trouble now. It's always wise to expect it. But is there any reason why it should be expected more this time than any other time?
Yes, we've been running Rough Riders up since we came in country in January a year ago. And normally the Rough Riders to up to Fubai have been quite quiet, and we've been had real fine security and very few problems, a few mining incidents, but nothing like we've experienced in the last week. This is why the solid faces. We've had 11 WIAs and two KIAs in this operation in the last 4 days.
One of the major responsibilities, should the convoy be attacked, lies with the security platoon. A Marine lieutenant in charge of the security for the convoy gave his views on what he thought might lie ahead for the Rough Rider.
Well, we were supposed to remain with the trucks and move through the convoy, returning fire. If one truck does break down, we will form immediate security for it and await our supporting arms to help out.
Do you expect this to be an eventful trip?
Yes, I think we probably will get hit somewhere north of High Van Pass. The previous two convoys have been hit, and the bridges have been blown during the past 9 days. This will be the first convoy going up for, I think, it's 10 days now.
The beginning of what the Marines thought would be a six-hour journey was uneventful. The most treacherous part of the trip, the descent from the 1,100-foot summit of High Van Pass, was still ahead. The lead truck of the 200-truck convoy had just cleared the summit and gone down the mountain less than 2 miles when a Viet Cong mine exploded under a truck. Marine Huey gunships were quick to respond, and the enemy soon felt their presence.
They're firing rockets at them now alongside the hill from us here. Looks to be about 200-300 yards over. The Huey gunships are firing in right now alongside the hill.
The truck was a complete loss, and after Marine engineers conducted a mine sweep around the truck, the convoy continued. The Viet Cong, however, were still after the convoy, and a few minutes later, they struck again.
Real heavy firefight going on. See some tracers now that are going out. Some incoming.
With the aid of the Hueys, the convoy once again began the trek down the pass. With a steady light rain falling and darkness setting in, the convoy pushed on toward Fubai. Less than 10 miles from their destination, the convoy received a report that over 400 NVA had been spotted in the area that lie ahead. The decision was made to continue, and as each truck moved forward, the last few miles seemed as though they would never pass. The NVA failed to materialize, and 14 hours from the time the Rough Rider began, the lead truck pulled into the Marine base at Fubai. A young Marine truck driver that drove the 70 miles from Da Nang to Fubai gave his feelings about his first Rough Rider.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've never been so nervous in my life. I've been on quite a few operations over here, and I've never been any more scared than I was today.
Gunnery Sergeant Bob Calkins was with the convoy, and I'm Marine Sergeant Chris Harris, reporting for the Combat Information Bureau, Da Nang, Vietnam.
The drop altitude will be 800 feet. The field of caissons been south in pretty much, and we're hoping we got at least that highest ceiling there.
An airdrop of supplies for Quezon, the Marine combat base just below the DMZ that has been under heavy attack recently, is a routine job for leatherneck cargo planes in Vietnam. A routine assignment, but a dangerous one. Combat correspondent Sergeant Joe McMahon talked to Major G.D. McLaughlin, the officer in charge of the Da Nang-based cargo aircraft.
How do you distinguish the drop zone? What marks it?
Well, when we get in the area, we're in radio contact with the people on the ground. And when we distinguish what is the drop zone, the area, which is the drop zone, they set off a smoke grenade of varying colors, doesn't make much difference, so we can get a wind direction, so we can properly line up the aircraft, and the drop master can get us lined up. I try to get about 3 to 5 miles straight away, into the drop zone to get us lined up properly so we can drop it right in the zone.
Major McLaughlin outlined the manner in which the supplies are dropped.
We pull the aircraft up in about a 25-degree nose-up attitude and add full power so the gear will ensure that it is sliding out the back and the chute will already have gone out. Just more or less of a safety measure to make sure the gear is not getting hung up in the airplane. Usually drop the whole plane load at once, but sometimes we do drop in two different drops.
What determines the altitude that you're going to go in? Is it air delivery or is it the type of cargo?
A lot of it's determined by the cargo itself, but air delivery tells us what altitude they want and we just give it to them.
Now with the mountains like they have up in Quezon, does it make it more difficult to line up on the target?
They had a drop zone which was pretty much parallel to the runway and off to the left side heading into the northwest. And it wasn't too bad because they could bring us in on radar right down to underneath the clouds. Today, I understand they changed the drop zone when they're running right in their last couple minutes. And with the enemy reportedly all over up there, it gives them plenty of time to see us. And being as low and as slow as we are at the time, and not too happy about staying around. So what we usually do is just go away. It looks like we're left, and then we come back again.
Cloud ceiling was at about 1,000 feet, and it was very easy to see the target area. Normally, the plane could land at the airstrip, but being under attack as it is at Quezon, they had to use parachutes to drop the cargo. The drop zone measured about 25 meters in diameter and was west of the airstrip. As the C-130 made its pass, the cargo was unloaded. Three bells were rung to signify make ready to drop. 2 seconds after the bells were rung, the plane nosed up and the gear went floating out the back.
The aerial resupply was a success, according to Sergeant Frank Alcantor, the NCO in charge of Marine Air Freight at Quezon.
This morning they were, I would consider them very successful. The only one thing, the aircraft had just, I would feel a little bit of trouble coming in and making the drops and coming close to the zone. But mostly everything that did come out, that we did recover, was in fairly good condition. They did a tremendous job and we did receive a lot of supplies.
Did we lose any birds yesterday up there?
No, we haven't. We haven't lost anyone, thank God.
An airdrop of supplies for the Marine Combat Base at Quezon. That was Sergeant Joe McMahon reporting. I'm Marine Corporal Jim Groom with the Combat Information Bureau in Da Nang, Vietnam.